Well, I'm going to read from a very familiar part of Luke chapter 2. We're going to be reading this again tomorrow, but focusing on a different portion of this passage. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. This is a scene of the shepherds announcing what we could translate as the gospel, the good news of great joy. And that's what we're going to focus our attention on, this good news of great joy. The sermon title, apparently I didn't get it switched from last Sunday. Instead of singing for joy, it should read bringing us joy. We're talking about not essentially pointing towards something else, but joy itself embodied in Jesus came. And we're going to just focus our meditation on that this evening. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8 and reading through verse 14. It's page 1071 through 1072. I hear God's word. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Well, it's the most wonderful time of the year, with kids jingle belling and everyone telling you to be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. So sings Andy Williams on our airwaves this season, this holiday season. He goes on to sing about parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and about much mistletoeing and hearts that are glowing. Is it the most wonderful time of the year? I think for many of us, we agree there's something spectacular and special about the season itself, but I'm reminded that this is not true at all for many people. Some people would rename this song, "It's the Most Stressful Time of the Year," right? This is a time where people are just kind of at wit's end with each other, that getting everything done at work before the end of the year, purchasing things so they get on this fiscal year's budget, traveling far away to visit family and friends with airports closed and snow delays. Some people are trying to navigate broken families of different step-parents and grandparents, or some children come home to a mom and dad whose marriage has not been what it ought to be for 20 years. The suicide rate is at an all-time high, the end of December. This is the most likely time for people to take their own lives in the year. I was picking up my party platters for our open house in Hannaford's on Friday afternoon, and I have never seen a longer line for the alcohol section than I did at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday at Hannaford's. People are taking this time of the year that just forces us to get together out of tradition, and people are drowning their pains with drugs and alcohol, a way to just kind of numb the challenge and the stress of this time of year. What's going on in our world? We have this season, this holiday called Christmas, and And for so many, maybe us included, there just isn't much joy there. We wonder what's wrong with us. And we feel guilty, and we get in this downward spiral of what's wrong with me? Why am I not glad about Christmas? The message of the world, as embodied in Andy Williams' song, is if we just have some traditions, if we just talk to each other enough, saying, hey, be happy, hey, be happy, hey, cheer up, that somehow will make us all happy. And it doesn't. We can't just sing happy songs until we're all self-hypnotized into feeling better. We need joy from somewhere else. And obviously this is a source of joy the world has largely forgotten, replacing major scenes with North Pole scenes, replacing worship with Christmas parties, replacing Jesus with so many other niceties. I don't know how we describe it. They're sentimentalities. If you have a tradition and you just keep doing it year after year, it builds kind of a pattern in your life. And then the holidays, when they have that tradition, it just warms your heart. And I think that's all a good thing. But I think if that's all we have, if something happens and you can't have that tradition anymore, if it ruins your holiday completely, I have to ask myself, I have to ask you, has our heart been in the right place all along? What brings us joy? What brings you joy this Christmas Eve? The shepherds announce, I'm sorry, the shepherds are doing their duty. They're doing their diligent work of taking care of sheep. This ancient vocation of looking after these grazing animals, making sure they don't go off in an area that would be dangerous to them, leading them to have waters to drink and grass and other greens to feed on. Day and night and night and day, tending sheep, caring for their wounds. These shepherds are faithfully and diligently working. They're living in these fields nearby Bethlehem where Jesus Christ is born. And it's them, these common folk, who have a common job, that the broadcast of the message of the gospel is first revealed beyond Mary and beyond Joseph and beyond their circle of friends that know this mystery that's coming. And now that it has come, it's like God broadcasts from heaven a news station, and that news station gets displayed on a big screen in a multimedia event of angels and the glory praising God and announcing the birth of Christ. R.C. Sproul went to be with the Lord recently, and I came upon this passage that he wrote about this scene this past week. He said, monotony goes with a job that follows the same routine day after day. The shepherds had spent countless nights in the fields outside Bethlehem. There would normally be little excitement. But on the night Jesus was born, something spectacular took place. The plains of Bethlehem became the theater for one of the most spectacular sound and light shows in human history. All of heaven broke loose. Here, the glory of God that's generally hidden opened a little bit, and glory shone through the veil that protects us from that glory, that would just overwhelm us and undo us. And that glory through that veil, an angel came and brought this message. Do not be afraid. I was joking this past week how angels, just placing angels all over the place, you know, little angel decorations, angel figurines, and even angels on top of our Christmas tree. I said, kind of with tongue in cheek, if it resembled any real kind of angel, we'd be kind of scared of it. Every time an angel appears in the Bible, it has to say, okay, don't be afraid. Because angels and God's glory always is heavy. Any kind of message from God can't be taken lightly. And so the angel, first of all, says, okay, don't be afraid. I'm bringing you a message of grace. I'm bringing you a message of good news, not bad news. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. I bring you good news. That word in the Greek is evangelion. We get the word evangelical from. We get the word gospel from. Remember, our faith is not first and foremost good advice. Our faith is first and foremost good news. Something has happened, whether you believe it or not, something has happened. Whether you are in touch with it or not, something has happened objectively in our world. A child was born and he is Christ, whether you like it or not, whether you believe him or not. God has come in flesh and was born of Mary and born into this backyard stable kind of building where the sheep and the animals were kept. No ideal situation whatsoever. We'll talk about this more tomorrow. Like, Mary and Joseph have every reason in the world to be kind of discouraged the first Christmas, right? You've ever been almost ready to give birth and you have to travel for a census? Like, what kind of crazy leader are we living under? And then don't even have a decent place to stay. You have to give birth in some straw. I mean, there's everything about this first scene. Nothing is convenient. Nothing is all serene and perfect. But even in that chaotic first Christmas, it's glorious. And there's peace and there's joy that's delivered to us through the birth of Christ. The angels announce that not only have we pointed to joy, the message to Zechariah, John the Baptist will be a source of joy, the message to Elizabeth, when her baby leaped for joy in her womb, when Mary arrived, the message to Mary that she would carry this joyful event, she would be used by the Lord to bring his son into existence. And her song of joy in response, we've seen this build up and all kind of pointers ahead to what God's going to do. And now the angels announce this is what God has done. Christ has come. And Jesus is the embodiment of joy. In Jesus is the source of joy. Jesus is the one we treasure and we are filled with joy as we're united with him, as we're connected to him. So I think many of us are looking for joy in the wrong places. Many of us probably admit that. We think maybe if we have a little more creaturely comforts, we'll experience joy. Maybe if I can just be a little numb to my problems, I'll experience joy. And I think that's the way a lot of the world goes. If I could just hurt a little less, then I'll be joyful. The message of Jesus coming is not that you can just hurt a little less. Jesus wants to replace your hurts with his glory and his delights. He wants to break in and shine through the hardness of your heart. He wants to light up the dark places so they go away. Not just numb you to the difficulties of life. The angel says, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. Christ, the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed one. This is the new chosen one of God to be Lord, Master, Sovereign. He is who we obey. He speaks and the world does what his will bids. He is Lord, he is sovereign, he is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. This is the birth of someone who is more powerful than anyone else anyone could ever imagine. It's interesting that, you know, Luke 2 begins with Caesar Augustus. And in history of the New Testament, Caesar Augustus, when he was born, the government announced that this was the good news of great joy that will be for all people. The announcement, the public relations in the Roman Empire is that this is the gospel. A king is born, and he is going to save us. Caesar was ushered as the emperor that would bring a new era of peace and prosperity to an empire. All of the language that we find in the angels announcing Christ's birth is both borrowed and then redefined for us from the day. So everyone would have known, the shepherds would have known, Mary and Joseph would have known, everyone the shepherds shared with would have known what this means. Caesar is no longer the ultimate Lord. There's been a new king born who's the ultimate Lord. This is why the powers to be want to destroy him. This is why in Matthew 2, Herod will send soldiers to kill children. He's so threatened by the idea that Christ is Lord. This isn't just some soft figure that you accept into your hearts and it makes you feel a little bit better. This is the sovereign of all the universe. Now born in a manger. Coming down to our level, crying and needing his diaper changed. God himself smiling and giggling, but also crying and hungry. It's bewildering of the imagination how much God stooped down and made himself lowly in Jesus to meet us where we are. C.S. Lewis once said that it was like a human becoming a slug so that slug could share with other slugs something of human glory. Do we know how much greater, how much more majestic, how much more glorious God is from us, his image bearers and his creatures? I mean, we tend to kind of want to put God in our terms and describe him how we would think God should be and say, well, God, you better bless me for doing that, and you better be against my neighbor because he slighted me. And we put God on our side. We put the sovereign of the universe and kind of use him for our own ends and purposes, right? That's our temptation. The message of the angels at Christmas is that the sovereign Lord is born, and it's him coming to us, not us going to him. And it's first and foremost him drawing into our world so that our world would never be the same. The joy that we're looking for, the joy that our hearts most long for, is found in our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's nothing that will bring you more satisfaction. There's nothing that will bring you more fulfillment. There's nothing that will bring you more joy than surrendering your life to his purposes and his plans and his will and saying, Lord, here I am, use me. Make me a witness like the shepherds. Make me use me to bring something of your will to come to pass like you used Mary. Help me obey you like Joseph obeyed you. Help me celebrate your birth like the shepherds celebrated your birth. Just show us something of your glory today. Reveal something of heaven to us through Jesus. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. May peace be brought to those people whom God's grace rests upon. I hope you are experiencing the grace, the gospel, the good news of Christmas, that no one can ruin and no one can spoil. Nothing that happens to your baking or nothing that happens to the weather and traveling, nothing can take away the joy that we have that's been given to us through Christ, our newborn King.